Okay, good morning to everyone. I'm glad to see you on this a brand new day that the Lord has made. Only God can make a day, and he has made this day and then put us in his day to give him glory and honor, to worship him, to serve him, to love him, to study, knowing more and more about him and more about Jesus, growing in grace and loving one another. And then being witnesses in a fallen world that a Savior has come. I'm glad to see you on this morning. Quite a few of you could not make it last week because of power outages. I hope everyone has power up by now. So you were missed, but we had to go on. My power also went out last weekend, but it came back up in a couple of hours. So we're here this morning in Jesus' name. My name is Velma, Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible Class at Salem Baptist Church. Today is July 18th in the year 2021. Some of you I haven't seen in a couple of weeks, so I'm glad you're here today. I encourage you to invite others. I see a new name out here this morning, Olusegun Ajayi. And I may be mispronouncing that, but I'm glad that you're with us. Okay, we will be continuing this morning from Luke chapter 13. I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. I do have other versions of the Bible, but that we might come into uniformity, we all need the same text for classroom purposes. So I teach and read from the New King James Version. We are currently studying the gospel according to Luke. On last week, we started Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And today we will be concentrating on verses 6 through 9. And these few verses, as true of all God's word, is pressed down, good measure, shaken together, and running over with truth. So we may be in these three verses for several weeks. Later on in the class, probably about 10 minutes into the class, I'm going to stop and take a poll because I received some feedback on, most of you got my email, the Zoom invitation that announced that starting in September, after Salem Baptist Church reconvenes for public worship, our class schedule will have to move. So on the email, I mentioned Monday evenings. But I did receive some feedback, which I appreciate, for choir members, because I corresponded with Minister Montague yesterday, and choir rehearsals will be on some Monday evenings. So that would mean some of you would not be able to join us. And that would be true regardless of what day was selected. Someone would not be able to join us. But I do want to have as many of you still in the class as possible. So Minister Montague let me know Mondays would be a rehearsal evening for the choir whenever they reconvene. And then others have other obligations on Monday evenings. So later on this morning, I want to take a poll to see which evening will work best for you. It will be either Sunday or Monday evenings at 6:30 starting September 19th or 20th. So we'll do that in a few minutes. So let's go to our Lord in prayer. Everyone, please make sure that you're on mute. Father, we love you and praise you. And even though we are on mute for classroom purposes, we do offer a fresh praise and a fresh glory unto you. And you did say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And then you said that the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so we may not be able to hear one another, but the main thing is, Lord God, that you hear us say, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless your name. We thank you for Jesus above all, the mediator between God and man. We thank you for Jesus in his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his intercessory work on our behalf. And now, Father, we ask you to bless your word, make it indeed living, and apply it to us, Lord God, where it needs to be applied. May we, Lord God, grow in grace in this teaching hour. We pray for the absent part of us, that all is well. We pray for those who are present and for all the needs in this classroom. We ask you to seal by this, Lord, even as you have promised. And now, Lord, we look forward to seeing what you have to say to us. And we say, Lord God, as Samuel said so many years ago, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We ask this in the name of Jesus. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and anything that would hinder us from hearing from you. We do pray, dear Lord, forgive. Now, Lord, lead us and guide us. Lead me, Lord, and guide me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, now this morning, we're going to continue in Luke chapter 13, which is where we started on last week. A long time ago, it's been quite a while ago now, quite a few weeks that we started this whole big section. And we found out from Luke chapter 11, verse 1, all the way down to Luke 13, verse 9, all of that happens in one day. And we are now concluding a big section of instruction, this entire section from Luke chapter 11 through chapter 13, verse 9, has been a chapter of instruction. And we will be concluding that with these verses that we'll be focusing on today. Now, even though it's a passage of instruction, there are a lot of sub-themes and subtopics within it. And we have found out for the last several weeks that this scripture, these passages, are about judgment, especially from Luke chapter 12, verse 35, all the way through Luke 13, verse 9, talking about we're all on our way to judgment, to be judged by God, as all Christians are on their way to judgment, to be judged for our works. All sinners are on their way to judgment, to be judged for their sins. The saints never have to worry about, we don't have to worry about being cast into hell. Jesus has paid that price for us, but we will be judged for our works. And the passage we're looking at today, we will be looking at in Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. You will see that this is another judgment. It's another inspection is going on. It's another appraisal. And I never did get around to really talking about a performance appraisal. But this passage, Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, has within it a performance appraisal. It has within it judgment. It has within it assessment. It has within it final judgment. And we don't really know how it ends with this tree. We'll be talking about a tree this morning. We really don't know how it really ended with the tree. And that's how it is with the souls of men, with others. But God knows. And so we'll be talking about this passage on this morning. When I was studying for this, there are so many angles that I could go to, and any teacher of the word could go to on this passage. And so I'm like, even last night, even this morning, Lord, which way do you want me to go? And I'm not quite sure, but I have acknowledged him and he will direct our path. So let's start by reading the passage in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, let me preface it by saying we're talking about judgment, and we saw already, let's just go back to chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And we saw where there were two tragedies that had occurred. And Jesus let the living people know, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so it's either repent or perish. Now we get to verse 6, and let's begin our reading. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. It says, he, Jesus, also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree, on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Now, I like to write my own subtopics, and I encourage you to write your own themes when you're studying scripture. So one of my subtopics, and I'm going to share my screen with you for a second here, if I can get it going right here. Share screen. Are you all still with me? Okay, I lost your picture. I'm trying to get that. So there you all are. Okay, share screen. All right. Share. Okay, so I think you all can see this. And it says, which one for you? Because in this topic, in these three verses that we just read, if you really picture it, and I encourage you when you're reading scripture, studying scripture, just talk it out. Just talk through scripture. Some of it is easier. Some passages it's easier to do with than others. But this passage here is very visual. It's nothing, quote, difficult about it. I mean, it's full of theological truth. That's for sure. It is a very deep passage. But it's written in such a way as a parable that most anyone, even a child, could understand the story. And when you picture it, you would think of two agricultural tools. In this passage, and I ask the question, which one for you? Do you want the shovel used around you or the axe? Because in this passage, there is a shovel involved. And that's in verse 7. Verse 7 says, then he said to the keeper, verse 8 says, but he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And so that would be the shovel involved. And then when you get to verse 9, here comes the axe. And it says in verse 9, if it bears fruit, that's after the shovel has done its work. If it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. And that's the axe. So which one would you prefer? Would you prefer that God continue to use the shovel around us until we're shaped and molded in his image? Or would you prefer the axe? And think about your loved ones and people that you care about. And there's a whole world of people that are headed towards the axe. But we are here as children of the Most High God to be witnesses and to plead on God's behalf for lost souls. Well, let's talk our way through this scripture because we have put our food on our plate. And you all who have been with me a while, you're familiar with that analogy. We have put our food on our plate. And our food is Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. Well, as I like to say, when we eat our meals, put our food on the plate, we don't just grab the plate and bend our neck back and just pour the food down. We don't eat like that. How do we eat? It's little by little, here a bite, there a bite. And so the whole plate is full, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8. But now let's go through it little by little and make sure we're all understanding the story. And then we'll come back. And when I say story, I'm talking about the parable. Well, what is a parable? We know a parable is our earthly truth, our earthly story, our earthly illustration of some spiritual truth. So this earthly illustration has to do with a fig tree. But it has much spiritual truth. So Jesus tells this parable, and he says, a certain man. Now, we know that man would represent someone, and we could say that this man could represent God the Father. You could say that. There's another man that appears in this passage. he's in verse 7. And verse 7, the other man is the keeper. Well, the keeper of the vineyard. So we have the certain man. And then in verse 7, the certain man talks to the keeper of the vineyard. That's the two men who are in this passage. Now, you may be tempted to say one is God the Father and one is God the Son, a type of the Father and the Son. But I think it would be better to say that these truths in this, these three verses give attributes of God the Father and attributes of God the Son, because the Father and the Son are always in agreement. There is no disagreement between the Father and the Son. And so I would be, think it would be better to say this passage illustrates attributes of both God the Father and God the Son. So in verse 6, a certain man, and we'll say attributes of the Father now, had a fig tree. Well, we need to identify, what is the fig tree? Who is the fig tree? Are we talking about an actual fig tree? No, it's a parable. The fig tree represents several things. The fig tree represents, first of all, the nation of Israel. The fig tree represents the nation, the chosen people of God, Israel. But the fig tree could also and does also represent you and me. Many times in scripture, the Bible used the illustration of a tree talking about people. Let's turn to Psalm 1. And most of us are familiar with the first number of Psalms. So if you go back to Psalm number 1, some of us know this by memory, others do not. But back in the Old Testament, the first number of Psalm, and you'll see where men are identified as trees. And this is just one passage of many. But I want us to see at least one passage so you'll know I'm not just making this up. So in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now this is the blessed man. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So this sounds like a pretty good tree. It sounds like a pretty good person. This person, this tree, is planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth fruit at the appropriate time. Its leaves do not wither. And whatever that tree does, whatever that person does, prospers. And then it goes to the ungodly. And so the division in Psalm 1 is between the righteous and the unrighteous. One way to go is up towards glory. The other way is downward. But we could see in Psalm 1, verse 3, where people are called trees. Trees are an illustration, a parable about people. Now notice in verse 3, the tree is planted. Well, let's go back to Luke and hold on to Psalms if you can. Let's go back to Luke 13. And in Luke 13, verse 1, it says, a certain man had a fig tree. And the fig tree, now it's a fig tree, you all. So that lets us know what? If it's a fig tree, then it should have some fruit on it because it is a fruit tree. It's a fig tree. It's just not any old tree. It's not an ornamental tree. It's a fig tree. And this certain man had a fig tree. Now, another key word is planted. The tree didn't grow up wild. You know how some trees grow up wild. They just spring up. And next thing, if you don't catch them while they're little babies sprouting up, you'll have a great big tree. You can have them in your yard where they just spring up wild. Well, this wasn't a wild tree. This tree was planted. And that means it was given care. The tree was cared for. It was thought about where to put the tree. So this certain man had a fig tree, and that certain man planted the fig tree. Where did he plant it? He planted it in a special place. He planted that tree in his own vineyard. It was his vineyard. So that lets you know it's a special tree. He didn't sell this tree. He didn't give this tree to someone else. He didn't pass it on as a gift. This was a tree in his vineyard. So we can see attributes already of God, the Father, and the Son coming forth. But then it goes on and it says, and he came. Well, that would be this certain man. He came doing what? Seeking fruit. Now, that means inspection. That means assessment. That means appraisal. That means, to some degree, judgment. And so he comes to this tree, and he's looking for what? He's looking for fruit. And so you can picture that, looking for fruit. And as a matter of fact, I have a bush that I planted. It's a snowball bush. And first it had a lot of little snowballs on it, but now it has none. And I'm like, well, what's up with this bush? And just the other day, I was poking around, lifting up leaves, and I was looking for any indication of some buds coming forth with snowballs on it. I never found any. So anyway, that doesn't mean they're not there, but I never found any. And so this man comes seeking fruit. He's not looking for leaves. He's not looking for branches. Of course, there would be leaves and branches, but he's looking for fruit. That's why he planted the tree. That's why he planted the fig tree. If he just wanted an ornamental tree, he would not have planted a fig tree. He planted it with the objective for to give fruit. So he comes looking for fruit, and here's the assessment. Here's the appraisal. Here's the judgment. He found none, not even one fig on the tree. He didn't find any fruit at all. But then it goes on and it says, then he said to the keeper of the vineyard. Now, that's something else about this was a special kind of tree. This tree was planted in the vineyard. This tree had a keeper of the vineyard. It wasn't left to grow up on its own. There was someone to keep the tree, see about the tree, tend to the tree, give the tree what it needed, not to mention all the things God was doing for the tree with his sunshine and with his rain, with the wind blowing. God knows how to measure the wind so the trees get the proper amount of everything that they need. But this tree had a keeper. So verse 7, the certain man speaks to the keeper of the vineyard, and the certain man says, look for yourself. But he's saying, look, for 3 years, this man came, the master came. For 3 years, I have come. Now you picture 3 years. And when I was studying for class, I was reminded of trees have those rings within them, inside of the tree. And the rings for a lot of trees represents a year. That full circle that's inside of that tree represents a year in a lot of trees. And so it had made full circle. Now think of your life. Every birthday would be like a full circle. Every birthday would be like another ring around your tree. Now you need to think about, since your last birthday, and to your next birthday, from now on, regardless of where we are, we want to make sure we have some fruit growing on our tree. So verse 7 lets us know the keeper of the vineyard, it was told him by the certain man, look, for 3 years, that's quite a bit of time. For 3 years, especially when you consider this fig tree was capable of growing figs from year number one. And we'll look at that in Leviticus. From year number one, the tree could have had figs. But now it's 3 years and the tree has no figs. And so he says, I have come seeking, seeking. It wasn't a casual glance. He was lifting and he was looking, seeking fruit. That's what he wanted. He was seeking fruit on this fig tree. And then he says again, and found none. Then the assessment is, and you know the reason why, he would say, get out the axe, cut it down. Well, why would he say cut it down? Because it's not doing what God intended it to do. It's not serving its purpose. It's not bearing fruit. And that's how the Bible opens. God tells man, be fruitful. Matter of fact, that's the first words to man from God that are recorded. Be fruitful and multiply. And so it says here, cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Why is it using my sunshine, using my rain, using all the care of the vine keeper and not doing what I meant it to do? It's just wasting time. It's just wasting space. It's also a hindrance from others. It's sucking up nutrients from the soil that could be used for other trees. So he says, why does it use up the ground? Cut it down. But he answered and said, this is the keeper. He answered and said to him, sir, with respect, let it alone this year also. Let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Now, I think you all can see what's going on here. Attributes of Father, attributes of the Son. And someone says, the keeper says, because the owner said, cut it down. Then the keeper comes back and says, sir. Now, this we could say represents Jesus pleading on our behalf. But we need to keep in mind the Father and the Son are always in agreement. It was the Father who gave the Son to plead on our behalf. So there's no contention between the two. But in our parable, it says, sir, let it alone. Don't cut it down. That's what he's saying. Don't cut it down this year. Give it another year also. You've already given it 2 years. You've already given it 3 years. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. I'm interceding. I'm standing between. I'm the mediator between God and man. And I'm asking you, sir, to leave it alone this year. Also, give it another chance. Leave it alone this year also until I take the shovel, dig around it. Now, if you picture that, you picture a shovel. That's not like taking a piece of cotton, a cotton puff. It's going to be some pain involved. It's going to be some upsetting of the soil. It's going to be some turning over some things. It's going to be cutting, getting that shovel deep into the soil. But it's like the keeper is doing all that he can to save this tree. He wants this tree to have fruit. Because this is another of my captions, fruit or else. You know, that's not quite what I had. But fruit is not an option. That was my caption. No fruit is not an option. If you have no fruit, you will ultimately be cut down. Talking about spiritual fruit, which we'll talk about a little more later. So he says, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, now notice in your Bibles that word well is italicized. And I tell you, whenever you see italicized words, that means it's not in the original text. It is supplied by the editors and by the translators. So you could take out that word well, and you could also leave it in, but it is a supplied word. And it's like the keeper says, and if it bears fruit, you know, it's like he kind of shrugs his shoulder. And if it bears fruit, it's left up to the tree. Because the shovel man, the shoveler, the keeper, is going to do all that he can to help this tree bear fruit. And if it bears fruit, but if not, after that, now here comes a time limit. Yeah, there's second chances. God gives second chances sometimes, but there comes a time where it's over. God doesn't continually give second chances. And some people get no second chances at all. And that was the case in the first part of chapter 13. When that tower fell in verse 4 says, are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. And so when that tower fell, they had no warning that the tower was getting ready to fall. Everybody would have ran out of the tower. They had no warning. It was immediate. It was sudden. And they had no second chance. And so when we say God of the second chance, we need to make sure we say, but those chances don't run out. And sometimes God does not give a second chance. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Bible also said, we read it in Luke chapter 12, where that fool thought he had a whole lot of years to live. And the Bible said, God said to that man, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And so back to Luke 13, verse 8, the keeper says, let it alone this year until I dig around it and fertilize it. I'm going to add some things into the soil. I'm going to add some things into this person's life. It may be troubles. It may be blessings. It may be some family member. It could be all kinds of things that God does to upset the soil, that God may do to add in nutrients. It could be someone telling somebody, you need to come to Jesus. You need to do this. You need to be reading your Bible more. It could be all kinds of things that fertilizes the soil. Verse 9, here's the ultimatum. If it bears fruit, well, then the tree's okay. It changed. It repented. That's what it boils down to. Repentance, which is a change of heart, a change of mind towards sin and towards God. And it's a sorrow for sin, turning from sin to God. And so verse 9, the tree wakes up, as it were, and begins to bear fruit. But we don't know if that's what happened to this tree or not. It says if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Now, we're going to go on a series here because I want to take time, and we may not have time this morning, but the fig tree does represent Israel. It also represents us. It also can represent any nation. It can also represent a church. It can represent a city where God gives chances. It can represent a race of people. It can represent many things where God gives chances for people to turn around and repent. But primarily, this fig tree represents Israel. So I want to take time to talk about Israel because we need to know more about Israel. Most Christians know a little bit about Israel, a little, very little, but we don't know too much. But Israel is key, a lot of us, is key in the Bible. Now I'm going to stop right now. Let's take our poll, because this poll for you all who joined us after I talked about it, we will be transitioning in September. This class will be transitioning in September 19th or 20th, from Sunday morning to either Sunday evening or Monday evening. And I need to know which works best for you. So I put the poll up for those of you who have computers. For those of you who are on your telephones, send me an email. Get in your input, because I have to make a decision. Which would you prefer to have Sunday school on? Sunday evening at 6:30 to 7:30, or Monday evening from 6:30 to 7:30, or either one. It doesn't matter to you. So let me know. I need to know, because I need to, Sister Marcia Hall and Pastor in the church is planning, and they need to know when the Life Development Ministry classes will be meeting. Okay, so I see 26 or 46 people have answered. So go ahead and answer as soon as you can. And while you all are answering, let me give out some attributes that we have seen in our passage about the Father and the Son. So I think you all can still hear me while you're answering the poll. Now, the scripture we just read had in it, like I said, many attributes of God and many attributes of the Son, God the Father and God the Son. So I'm going to take down the poll now, 27 and 46. It was just one simple question. Hit Sunday or hit Monday or hit either. Okay. All right. Okay. So I saw Jonas Rogers on the chat. Yes, you can also put on the chat which evening will work best for you. Okay. So I'm going to end this polling so we can go on. You can email me or call me and let me know which evening works best for you. Okay, so in polling, share results. Okay, so here's the results. Most people said Sunday. Almost half of you said Sunday. A smaller percentage said Monday. And a lot of you said either one. So it looks like it's going to change to Sunday because I'm going to go with the majority. So if Monday works best for you, you need to let me know because I'm making a decision based on what you tell me. And also keep in mind, Minister Montague, you already let me know Mondays will be one of the choir rehearsal nights. Okay, so let me stop this polling. Now, let's think about the Father and the Son. And what are some of their attributes that we see in these three verses? Well, one of the attributes of God is his choice. God made a choice. He made a choice about this fig tree. It was that particular fig tree. And we need to know, as people of God, we have been chosen. God, we didn't come to God because we were so smart. We ended up saved by grace. It's all by grace because God chose us and elected us. And for those who profess to be Christians, for those who profess to be born again, you're really professing to be a fig tree. Well, if you're professing you're a Christian, if you're professing you're born again, you're professing you're a fig tree. Therefore, if you say you're a Christian, you ought to be bringing forth some fruit. Fruit is not an option. It's either you have some fruit or you're really not healed. That's what it boils down to. And so we see one attribute of God is his choice. God chose. But then we see the care of God, because you could say, well, this is a pretty harsh passage. Well, it ends up harsh, not because of the Father, not because of the Son, but because of the tree itself. It didn't bring forth the fruit, but the Father planted the tree. The Father assigned a keeper of the tree. The Father gave sunshine. The Father gave rain. The Father did all he could. That's the care and the provision of the Father. Then he protected that tree. He didn't put that tree on the side of the road. He put that tree in a vineyard. It was a special fig tree. Just imagine, here's a fig tree in the vineyard. It's like this tree is so special that it gets inside of the vineyard. So this tree has special protection. This tree has favor. Now, you all think of Israel, because Israel was God's choice, and we also are God's choice, us as children of God. But I want you to think of Israel. So Israel, chosen of God, special care. Same with us. God has given us special care and protection and favor, and a keeper has been provided. For us, who is the keeper? Well, the keeper is, we could say, the Holy Spirit. He abides with us. And he is our helper, and he's there to help keep us and talk to us and tell us, you need to do this, you don't need to do that. So a keeper has been provided. The word of God is also a keeper for us. The word of God hedges us in. The word of God protects us. All of that, God's special care for this fig tree. Look at the patience of God. The tree should have borne fruit the first year. It should have borne fruit year number one. Let me show you. I'm going to share screen again. I'm going to show you a scripture here from Leviticus. So it's in Leviticus. Share. You know, you all, I'm learning here. Share screen. And here, let me go up. Okay, this is a scripture from Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 23 and 25. Now, this is from the Message Bible. You may want to read it in the New King James, but the Message Bible made it clear for what I'm trying to say now. Leviticus 23 says, when you enter the land and plant any kind of fruit tree, any kind of fruit tree, don't eat the fruit for 3 years. So that tells you right there, that tree should have had fruit year number one. It sure should have had fruit year number two, and certainly year number three, because it says, don't eat the fruit for 3 years. Consider it inedible. But the tree did. The tree has fruit. Supposed to, year one, year two, year three. By the fourth year, this is what's supposed to happen, year number four. By the fourth year, its fruit is holy, an offering of praise to the God, to God. Now you can see this would be another reason God would say, cut that tree down, because year number four, it was supposed to have special fruit as an offering of praise to God. Well, that tree had no fruit year one, year two, year three, year four, where it was supposed to be an offering of praise to God, and you have no fruit, cut it down. So then it goes on, beginning in the fifth year, you can eat its fruit. You'll have, I got to move my screen. You'll have richer harvest this way. I am God, your God. So that's the scripture, Leviticus 19, 23 through 25, that lets us know that tree should have had fruit from year one. So, well, let's go on with the attributes of God, the Father and the Son. He is patient. Even though the tree should have had fruit year one, it didn't. But the Father said, okay, I'll maybe year number two. That's the patience of God. Long suffering of God, forbearing of God. We can look at what's going on in our world and see God is very patient. And if it wasn't for God's patience in our own lives, we would have been cut down. So thank God he's patient and long suffering. We also see part of the attributes of God that he judges things, he assesses, he looks. And you can do research on this yourself. Before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, that's back in Genesis. Before God brought the flood, that's in Genesis 2. That happened before the flood was first and then Sodom and Gomorrah. Those were two judgments of God. But before God brought the flood on this earth and before God brought the fire to Sodom and Gomorrah, in both cases, it says God came down and looked. He already knew what was going on, but God himself, quote, came down and he looked before he brought on that flood and before he caused the fire to come, God took a look. And that's as if to say, God has said, I really don't want to bring a flood. I really don't want to burn up Sodom and Gomorrah. I really want people to be saved. That is my desire. That's why I gave my son for people to be saved. But if they don't repent, here comes the flood, here comes the fire, here comes the axe. But it's not because of God not being patient, it's because of man not repenting. And so God is very patient and long-suffering. God assesses and he judges. He never says, that's okay, let's just forget about it, I'll excuse you. Oh, you don't have to worry about it. That's not God. Because if God was to say, you don't have to worry about it, sweetie. You don't have to worry about it, honey. That's all right, baby. That ain't God. Because if he did that, he wouldn't be righteous and he wouldn't be holy. And God is just. He is just in all his ways. And that's why I say he always balances the scales. He always brings the ledger back and balances both sides. And so God, we also see another attributes of God. He is disappointed in this tree. It saddened him. And do you know, God, we'll see even in Luke chapter 13, and I encourage you to read it. Jesus will weep over Jerusalem. He will weep over the Jewish state. He will weep because he came to save them and they rejected him. So that tells us God weeps with us. He has emotions and he was disappointed in this tree, even though he already knew what was going to happen. Also, we see the intercessory work of the Godhead, of the Son. Jesus is our intercessor. He prays for us. He is our advocate. He is our great high priest. He is our mediator between God and man. So we see praying on our behalf, and that for sure, Jesus prays for us. We see the mercy of God. There's a lot of mercy here because year one, don't cut it down. That's mercy. Year two, year three, that's mercy. But eventually, God will judge. And when he judges, this comes the wrath of God, the anger of God. Picture that axe. You know, I'd rather have the shovel. I'd rather not have either one, actually. But give me the shovel over the axe. Give me the shovel over the axe, because the axe is going to cut it down, cast into the fire. That's what will ultimately happen. It will be cast into the fire. And so those are attributes of the Godhead, Father and Son in particular, and also the Holy Spirit. Now, it's going to probably take next week before we really get to Israel, but I want to start today. But first of all, let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I always say that because some of us are still learning our books of the Bible. And it just helps. So John 15, and in John 15 is the one of the great I ams talking about Jesus. John chapter 15 says, I am the true vine. That's Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. That's why I say fruit is not an option. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So that lets you know there's three types of fruit right there. There's no fruit. We see that in verse 2. It does not bear fruit. Then we see every branch that's bearing fruit. So we have no fruit. We have a tree with fruit. And then the Father, the vine keeper, comes and he prunes it. Uh-oh, I guess I can't escape that shovel, huh? Or the cutting away. He prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. So there's different levels of fruit. But you must have some fruit if you're going to make it. So verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out, cut down, axe laid to him. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So that's the ultimate. So fruit is not an option. Now, we only have 5 minutes, and I'm going to take time to do this beginning today, and then we'll continue next week, Lord willing. If we had a lot of time, I'd want to know, how much do you know about the nation of Israel? Well, this is not going to be a big study on the nation of Israel, because that would take too much time, and it would take us away from really studying Luke. But I do want to hit dot to dot some major joints. So Israel, we all know that Israel is a nation. We also know Israel, the Jew, or Hebrews. Hebrews is another name for the Jew, or the people of God. They are the chosen people of God. Most of us have heard that. But we need to know, yes, that's in the Bible. Israel, the Jew, is the chosen people of God. Now you may say, well, why are they the chosen? Is God prejudiced? Does God esteem one above another? Well, keep in mind, God is God. That's first. The Lord is God, and he's sovereign. He does what he wants to do. He doesn't ask us for permission. He doesn't say, what do you think about it, Marion? He never says that. God is God. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. This is where it starts, in Genesis chapter 12. Now, don't feel bad that he chose Israel, the Jew. Don't feel bad about it, because I already told you we are chosen as well. Now, that's enough to shout about and think about. How did we get in? How did we get chosen? If Israel is the chosen of God, how is it that I got in? And I'm the chosen as well. But let's start in Genesis 12. This is where the trail begins. In Genesis 12, beginning at verse 1, Abraham, who is called Abram, 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 however you pronounce it. Genesis 12. Now the Lord, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you, Abram, a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, Abram, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, Abram, all the families. Now, this is the start of us, even way back in Genesis. This is the start of us getting in as well. So it says at verse 3 at the end, and in you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that lets you know right there, there is a special nation. That's in verse 2. I will make a great nation. That's Israel. You all remember God is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is. And when I pray sometime, I say, God, I worship you as the father of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You are the father of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you also the father of Velma Jean Sanders. Sometimes I say that. But here's the start of it, where God is choosing this great nation. It is 9:54. I'm going to give you some scriptures to read, and we'll pick up, Lord willing, next week. This is worth knowing. Okay, so I don't have a lot of time to give you the scriptures. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. And I'm going to stop right there, and you all on your own can do your own thinking about it. And assess yourself. How much do you know about Israel? Why is Israel so important? Why is Israel always in the news? What's the big deal about Israel? So I want you all to think about it, okay? The fig tree. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father, you are a good God, patient God, long-suffering God, and you give us all that we need to make it. Whether we are Jew or Gentile, you have provided all that we need in Jesus. And so we want to say thank you. And now, Lord God, I pray that you will bless this word. I ask you to sanctify it. I ask you to cause it to bring forth growth in your people as only you can. We pray that you will keep us in your care and be with us this week until we meet again in the name of Jesus. We pray that your blessings will be upon every church door open in the name of Jesus. Bless sermons all over the world and wherever saints are gathered. We praise you forevermore in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Velma, have yourself a wonderful week. This is Kathy. I got in kind of late.
Oh, that's okay. I wasn't taking attendance. Somebody else does that.
Well, that's okay. I'm in Denver. I'm going to be with my mom on her 90th birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to your mom.
Happy
Enjoy
birthday.
Your mother.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
We'll be in tune next week. Have a blessed week, everyone. Becca, I'm glad to see you. You were missed. Have a blessed week. Have a great week. I'm glad to see all of you all. I just love you.
Praise God.
Somebody's got a plant instead of their face. So I'm glad to see your plant, Linda M. God bless you.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Have a good week. For our new person, whoever that was, I think they left.
Okay.
Glad they came.
Praise the Lord.
Who is iPad 3?
Sorry, was she praying?
No, sweetheart, you were singing beautifully.
Who is iPad 3?
Velvet.
Oh, hi, Velvet.
Hi.
Velvet Atkins?
Yes.
Okay, hi, Velvet.
Hi.
How much do you know about Israel? Why is it so special? What's our relationship? Were they cut off? Think about it. Okay, we're going to go. Gotta go.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bless you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Pray for me. I'll be praying for you. You are all supposed to say okay.
Have a good week.
Have a good week. I got your poll, so.
Okay, we'll be praying for you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.